Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mr. Pick Me and the Man Hater show. I'm Reagan, aka the Man Hater, even though I don't hate men. And the creeper in the shadows is...
Audio can't see shadows, Reagan. People would have never known. This is how I'm going to do every podcast right now. I'm going to be one of those guys where instead of a mask, I'll just have like lights all over my face and I'll say really controversial things like women are people.
It's like anonymous, but you can clearly see your face.
Yeah. But there's not really. No, nobody knows who I am.
You know what that actually reminded me of? Have you seen True Lies?
The movie from like the 90s?
Yes.
Probably like 30 years ago.
There's the part where like Arnold Schwarzenegger is sitting in the chair and he's getting Jamie Lee Curtis to do the sexy dance. And like the lights are off, but it's like clearly Arnold Schwarzenegger. Huge. He's not built. That's like The Rock. There's certain people with builds that like, it could be totally dark in a room. And I'd be like, holy shit, that's The Rock. That's what that was.
You see, I'm a pretty massive dude, but when I started doing slam poetry years ago, I remember I kept showing up and I won like the event. I was like, people will know who I am. I showed up the next week and they're like, the host, what are you, is your first time here?
You don't remember me?
I won last week. You don't know me? He was, what was your name? Brian? Is that your name? It's Chesco. Chester? Okay, let's give it up for Chester.
Jessica Chastain, come on up.
Sir Reginald Cheskington. Slam poet extraordinaire. What, here, real quick side note. I always think, I have such a skewed reality of things that are cool. I don't think we talked about this. I talked about this with my wife, and I don't remember if it was something we talked about on the show before. But I always, in my mind, I always thought like letting it slip that I was a slam poet in the past was kind of like this cool thing. Mm-hmm. Like that's my like back in my youth when I was cool, and my wife was like, "No, that's not." It's just like being like. You know what people think of when they think of slam poets, right? They think of guys standing in a coffee shop talking like this about words. And I was like, oh, but that's not what I did. She was like, they don't know that.
They don't know that.
they think, oh, that's sweet. You were one of those. You were.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, no, I was. But it was cool. I was cool.
I remember there was a guy I went to college with. Mm-hmm. Who I actually thought was a cutie patootie, but then he ended up being a little kooky patootie, just crazy. He was like really into drugs and stuff. He texted me. Mm-hmm. He was like, oh, I've taken blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, well, I don't know if we're compatible. But he like went through a slam poet phase. Uh-huh. And I just saw it online. And he like, it was like very odd because he was like, I'm a man at the pulpit. You begging for forgiveness. I have sexualized women and I have fetishized. Like he was like, I fetishized black women and I've done this. And I'm like, this is a confession, but not of the kind we're referring to. This is like, and he was literally like, he did the whole thing. I watched it, I was screaming. But then he was like, share this to everyone you know. Like this is, message is important. I'm like, a white guy doing slam poetry? About how he has been a misogynist and been, you know, racist.
Like, yeah.
Not newsworthy.
Yeah. What? Never. But, by the way, if you ever, I've posted a couple of my old things, but like in general, my slam poetry was just my TikToks. It was just me, like when I go off on rants about stuff, I didn't write like poetry. Like, you know, like some people are amazing. Like,
do my favorite one.
Which one?
The ADD.
Oh, yeah. I was not just an ADD kid. I was the ADD kid, which now I know is ADHD. At the time, I thought it was just ADD.
It was so good. That had the slam poetry.
There is that. That's probably my most slammy one. Did you ever see the Sam Jackson one? Yeah. Did you ever see the Sam Jackson? This my tribute poem to Sam Jackson. Samuel L. Jackson. It was the title of it. is how Samuel motherfucking Jackson motherfucking saved motherfucking Christmas motherfucker a children's story. And it was a story about, it was just me basically throwing as many Sam Jackson references into 3 minutes as I could fit.
Oh, I would have loved that.
Yeah. And that's why I was like, when you look at my old stuff, it was mainly like one of my poems is actually kind of like problem. It's problematic in the sense that now I'm like, well, it's kind of friend zone-y, even though I was making fun of that idea of like being sure. in the friend zone. But it's definitely 22-year-old not fully understanding like the complexity of it. And it was basically just like ranting, like it was me trying to be funny. And then the climax of the poem, and I'm using that term unironically here, was me. All right, this is a PG-13 rating, maybe rated R rating right here. The climax of the poem was me giving my resume to the women in the audience. And it was, I will go down on you. I don't even want to go. It was all these metaphors about going down, like, but funny ones, like a pigeon in a park, like.
Police.
It was really.
I would be like, no, I'd be heckling you.
It was like I'm an asthmatic and you are my inhaler. Like, it was. But it was meant to be absurd, and it was funny. But
I refuse.
The scene I was in was all about, it was a bunch of comedians that did poems too, so it was all about being funny, and so it was all about like kind of being storytelling and funny. And then you would go to these other scenes that were much more like the traditional, which were still, there's brilliant people that were in those scenes, but there's also a lot of people that were like the standard things online. Anywho, that all came from me thinking that anytime I've shared that online, that people were imagining, well, Chitsko used to be a pretty cool guy in his 20s.
That's pretty cool. Hey, it is cool.
It is. Cool. I think it's cool. I mean, I like me.
Are you going to go into the John Candy speech from, what was that? Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, where he's like, I like me. My wife likes me, or and that's okay.
That's okay. That's all that matters, right? That's something.
That is my number one, is whether or not my wife likes me and is happy with me.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter what anybody says. As long as like my kids and my wife, that's, as long as I'm good in their book. That was actually the running joke with when I did speech and debate too, between the team, was like, I was never the best in the round, but I was able to win because I was able to be likable. They're like, I don't have to be the best in the round. No, but at the time I was very good at playing a likable character, as opposed to now where I'm this villain where everyone hates.
In the shadows.
In the shadows of my room. But they were like, yeah, it was, I was never going to get there was a panel of judges. I was probably not going to get any of their first places, but they were all like, yeah, I'll give them second place. And so I'd win. I won a bunch of competitions, not getting a single first place, because I was, because other people would be like a mix of first and fifth places, but across the board, they were like, yeah, it's good.
I liked him.
I liked his argument. I thought what he was saying made sense.
I like it.
So I was able to appeal to a wide swath of people without ever actually being good. So,
oh, please.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm a much better speech coach than I ever was as a speech competitor, in part because I can't, my ADHD, I had no work ethic as far as I wanted to do slam poetry. Like when I was competing in speech, I was also doing slam, and I was like, I had no, once I got my speech off the ground, I was not rehearsing or practicing anymore. I was like, no, I gotta write new slam poems, because that was where the dopamine was in slam.
Sweet slammed.
Well, I mean, you'd win like $60 at some of these slams.
That's obscene.
I know. And so at the time, I was, that was a huge.
Yeah, sure, sure.
When I would, how broke I was in college, I was like, oh my God, I won $50 this week. I can
it's
have
like something. The lottery.
Yeah, I have enough ramen for a month, for a year.
I'm swimming in ramen.
Oh, give me the ramen. I'm surprised I don't have high blood pressure considering the amount of sodium I consumed throughout college, the amount of ramen that I ate every single day.
You got to survive.
I did. I'm here. I'm here now. And I'm better for it as this cool ex-slam poet. Those two cool things I shared about being a speech and debate guy and a slam poet. Man, they're like, whoa, watch out. We got a badass over here.
I can see your awards behind you. So
it's true. It's true.
I just have clouds that I painted myself. No awards for me. Oh, yeah. I did win the my improv. I did win that, but I don't get to keep the award.
What was the award?
It was a big wrestling belt that every
you don't
team
get to keep
each
it?
Year. Well, it lives at the shop and it goes above the bar.
And do you get like your name like on it or something?
Yeah, it gets engraved.
Okay. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Well, we had, there was one big award when I was for the team I used to coach, where it was the cumulative national or state champion, where it's like, so it's like every year, every amount of points you get gets added to it. So it goes across years and we won it and you get this giant thing. And I was like, this is amazing. Wow. They're like, okay, give it back. And then they inscribe your name on it and they give you a tiny little plaque.
I was like, oh. Okay, give it back.
I was like, that was pretty cool.
Well, Jesco, enough about us and our awards.
No, this is all we're going to talk about today. Awards!
I once won best amateur drag king.
Okay.
I was like, what's an interesting award? Uh-huh. Yeah.
I won best boy in my high school graduating class.
Best boy?
It was called best boy.
Oh, like filming?
No, they the way my high school was, all the teachers voted on the best boy and the best girl, and it was I could be wrong, but it was at least that's how it was talked about by the students. It was like, oh, who
so
got best?
So weird.
Yeah, and so I wasn't valedictorian, but I got best boy.
But saying having the word be the best boy and the best girl,
boy, Jesco.
You ate that shit up. I guarantee it.
It was because I was, and it's funny. I feel like I won because I found out later in life that autistic people tend to have older friends, as if I'm talking about somebody else, we don't really recognize power structures in the same way. And so I talked to my teachers in high school, like we were equals when like there was zero and one of them, I've mentioned a story before where they asked me to come back and host this thing on the 20-year anniversary for something at my old high school. And the first thing she says to me is my nemesis. And it was somebody that I thought hated me. And she told me, she was like, I was her favorite student, like, ever. And I thought she hated me. But it was because of the fact that I hung out with the teachers. I would literally go into the teacher's lounge. And I was, because I worked in the office my senior year as well. And I would just kind of go, I was hanging out with all the office staff. And those were my friends.
I remember, I liked kids my age, but I also really liked teachers. And I remember when I was a senior, I had a math teacher who, she just really liked me. And I just remember being like, gosh, I'm kind of hungry. And she's like, oh, well, I have some snacks. Mm-hmm. And she was like, she would let me just go into like, she, you know, had the little, it's not a pantry. It's a closet that the food was in. But, and she would always let me just grab whatever I wanted. I could grab a drink. I could grab a snack. No one else got drinks or snacks. That's me. And she would be like, I remember one time she was like, oh, you're and like missing assignments would be my problem. The ADHD. And so if I was missing one, she'd be like, oh, you know what? No big deal. Let's just do it right now. We'll just finish it really quick. I'll let you turn it in late. I was like, are we best friends?
Is this what I feel like, though? I brought up a story. I shared a tweet of somebody who said, like, are you the type of person who looks at your therapist and says, I think we'd be friends if this was in real life. Is that the same thing as guys who think the stripper likes them? And I was like, oh, no, because I thought this. I was like, I think we'd be good friends.
I don't. I, you know,
Because I am paying her to listen to me and be my friend for that hour every week.
I'm biased because I also think my therapist and I would be good friends or like would be friendly.
Although I think my therapist genuinely every week we meet, she because we barely talk about anything mental health related. We just kind of talk shit about the world, about Trump and everything. We kind of shoot the shit for a week. So mm-hmm. maybe it is a little bit, but every week she says, are you getting something? I was like, I'm really enjoying this. So I think I am paying for a friend.
I feel like you have to be tricked into talking about trauma. I feel like if you get going in a conversation, you're very quick with yeah. whatever you're feeling.
You've been around me in real life too, where I just kind of share with people that I just met all sorts of things. I don't need to pay somebody. I just need to go to a bar.
It's so good. It's so genuine though. But you're like people, you're someone that it's very, I don't want to say enjoyable because that sounds freakish, but it's more like when you do, there's some people that will trauma dump almost like, and just out of nowhere, not in the right context. Not
it's killing the emotion.
They're not ready for it. They're like, oh my God. And then the vibe is killed. There's something about the way you do it that people are like, oh my gosh. And tell me more about that. And let me tell you something.
Well, let me tell you. Yeah.
That's exactly like, let me give it literally like, yeah. I have to tell you a story, but let me give you the background.
Yeah, let me, explain some very specific things that won't make sense, but I promise you, this is a, anyhow.
We should get to the show now.
I guess so. We're only 17. I feel like we've become more unhinged in 2026.
We have to get it together. We got yelled at by someone because they said we're so off the track. Yes. Well,
you know what? I'm going to be honest here. Screw you. This is who we are, right? You want a real, we actually had a real, like, focused pre-show that was more about on topic than I think anything we're going to talk about today.
Well, what are we going to talk about today?
What did I send you? What did I tell you again? Which one was it? I think, when women are wrong.
The title is what women don't understand about men.
Theme song.
You want bad advice, man? I'll give it out gladly.
I got some good advice for ya.
No, you don't. Like, no, you don't.
I got some good advice for ya.
No, you don't.
Like, no, you don't.
Shit.
You gotta lock it up.
What do they understand about men? Am I right? 6'7". 6'7".
Yeah.
Do your kids do six? Does your yes. kids do? Your, does
she
your,
brought
she do it,
it home, and I was like, oh, "You're so get young, out of you're our only house. Five," and she doesn't get it. She goes, "What does it mean?" I go, "Nothing. It means nothing."
Yeah, my 5-year-old's the one that does it the most. She gets so excited about it.
Hey,
about everything.
We're already off track again.
I know it's gonna happen. I'm sorry, no. everybody. I'm sorry. This is we are. I can only promise 10 minutes of on topic conversation a week. All right. Maybe we'll do that. Well, let me in the notes of the show, I'm going to put time markers for from 10-12 or from, at this point it'll be from 2012 to 2612. We discuss the video and then the rest of the show is us talking about high school things.
Would you like to know what my bet is that you'll do that?
You don't think I'm going to mark that in the
No, I am get the show up.
I am a professional.
Hashtag this week.
Reagan, I am a, I didn't even know you uploaded it because it's a show we did a month ago. All right. This is not just my fault.
I did it. I got it done. Sick and dying. I did it.
But let's be a little bit more open and honest here. Okay.
Okay. What about the other times you forgot to post?
Yeah, I didn't say I'm innocent. I said, in this instance, for this week, this is a joint failure on our part.
No.
Yeah. Because this episode was supposed to be released 2 weeks ago.
Yes, but I got one up sick. I got it.
Edited our December episode because you waited a month to edit it. You were sick.
Chesco, you better watch what you say to me.
I'm just kidding. Everyone... We love Reagan, even though she's so bad at deadlines.
I thought you were going to say, even though her voice is so grating.
Even with her voice being so grating on here, and her wit is too good. I've complimented you.
It was a bad one.
You have good wit.
It was a struggle for you.
You're witty. It was hard for me to be nice.
I know. I could see you're like, God, what is there? Her wit. Her wit.
Yeah. You said I was nice when we met in person. Am I meaner in person?
Prove it. Are you meaner in person? That'd been funny. I thought maybe you'd be meaner in person because I thought you're so nice online. Could be a front.
So, and then people started, everyone started giving me presents at the party we were at, and you were getting mad at me.
I wasn't mad at you. I was giving you trouble. I was very pleased. We're off topic. Oh my God. We're done here. Here's the video. What women don't understand about men. And I'm staying on topic.
Okay, let's do it.
I don't think ladies understand. When you say these things and then you give evidence that you had sexual intercourse with guys who aren't those things, you don't understand what you're doing to steer men in that direction. When you go on a date with a guy who's a perfect gentleman and make him wait and then get home and go fuck your toxic ex, you are making the world 1% worse. Now, it's not your responsibility. Do whatever the fuck you want. I'm not telling you not to do it. But please understand, if men are this way, it's partially because you rewarded them for being that way.
God, that was just no context, just wild fucking takes. Took me a second to even know what he was talking about.
If men are assholes, it's all women's fault. Or it's partly, he did use the qualifier. You're partly to blame for us being horrific.
I'm not saying you're responsible, but you are partly to blame.
You have to admit you're at least partly responsible, right? This anecdotal evidence that I'm supplying you is showing why this is this widespread issue.
Ladies, listen. I'm going to make some shit up. Okay, just admit I'm right. I hate the way he started by saying, like, basically, when men are gentlemen and you don't put out.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're comparing, like, a relationship, like an ex. So someone you have a legitimate relationship you probably have slept with before to some random guy. Well, if you won't sleep with me when I'm nice to you, then the only obvious conclusion is that I should be an asshole.
Clearly. And can I say, it's also, these guys will be nice like one time and it won't work out for them. And they'll, even though like the 50 times where they're assholes and it didn't work out for them either. But that's the conclusion there is that it had to be that you were too nice. And it couldn't be that was just, she just didn't like you, right? Or that it felt really fucking forced because you're actually an asshole pretending to be nice and putting on this fake mask during the date.
I also feel like these are situations that like aren't happening and they're using them.
Yeah.
Like, did that really happen to this guy? Like, is there a situation in which a guy went on a date and it didn't work out and then immediately she went and had sex with her toxic ex? I doubt it. I'm sure it's happened. But again, it's like they use these fake scenarios. Like, they know what they want the answer to be, so they come up with a fake scenario where it's like, but I know I know it needs to be women's fault. I know we need to say something that makes them think you should sleep with nice guys. So let me tell a story where you don't sleep with a nice guy, but you sleep with your toxic ex. Like, do you know their toxic ex? Do you know anything about them? Or are you just saying, oh, that ex is toxic because it's not me? I'm not in bed with her, so it's toxic.
I think that he's very clearly the toxic ex that's being slept with. And he's like, well, I'm proof. Why would anybody ever sleep with me? I'm an asshole.
I'm disgusting.
I'm disgusting. Like, look at me. Look how I'm talking right now. And I got laid. That's the proof. All the proof you need in the world.
What's wrong with you? Why are you women sleeping with me?
Why? Have you heard the shit I say? Why is anybody sleeping with me?
Why is anyone listening to me?
Make them stop.
This is actually a cry for help. I also think that, like, the way that men will flat out call other men toxic, abusive, harmful, and still blame the woman and not take any accountability to that man.
On that point real quick, he's saying men are terrible. He's admitting that men are terrible. Like it's like, it's, if you look at the words he's saying, it's worse than anything I've ever said about men, right? Like he's saying, this is why all men are shitheads. Mm-hmm. You made us this way, right? Mm-hmm. I've never said that all men are shit. I've said shitty men are shit, right?
Shitty men are shit, and you can quote me.
Quote me on that. All shitty men are shit.
Here's the thing, though. It's like guys like this will only call out that behavior when it's to condemn women and shame them. Mm-hmm. Like, you date these trash men, these horrible dudes. And it's like, okay, but do you call them out for being horrible under any other context? Or is it only to make women feel bad for sleeping with them? Like, because the issue is, if you're acknowledging that these men are toxic, which literally meaning they do harm. And usually in the case of a partner, you're looking at a manipulative person, an abusive person. You're admitting that that's the way that man is. And then saying a woman slept with him. Right. Okay. So it's kind of part of the toxicity, right? Because they weaponize their relationships with women, right? They're they're abusive towards them. They, you know, you get into abusive cycles, or they treat them like shit, and like it creates this very toxic pattern, you know? And so, yeah, that is how that happens, but you're not then addressing the fact that this could be a product of said toxicity. The woman who keeps going back to the ex, even though she's around a nice guy. Let's just pretend for a second.
This
we're
going to
really take a leap that this is a true story and that the man was nice. Because usually they're not. But let's say this is a really nice guy who she has chemistry with. It's not just that he's nice. It's that she would actually, like, if they were in a couple, they would be a good couple. Let's say that's true. And her toxic ex pops back up and she sleeps with him. Would we not be able to acknowledge that she's probably in a toxic pattern with this man? That if you're saying he's the toxic one and you want her, she's the good one because you're saying you want her and she should sleep with the other guy. Can we not acknowledge the toxicity of the man that could be affecting the way that she behaves with him? And maybe she's in an abusive cycle. Like, just no, they will not do that. They only want to call them toxic as to say, like, you'll sleep with a toxic man, but not me.
And there's so many contradictions too. Like the idea, like there was another one, it might've been him. They all kind of blend together. All these
every time
guys,
you like, show me them, you're like, have you seen him? I'm like, probably.
I don't know. They're one of these guys that are just ranting
like
about
slicked
women.
Back hair, black t-shirts.
Yeah, it's the costume of right. And it sucks. Yeah. I like wearing black t-shirts that have the hair.
Oh my God.
Oh no, I'm turning into them. He was like, if she hasn't slept with you by the third date, she's not into you. But these are the same guys that will also say she's got to have like a low body count, quote unquote, or a virgin, blah, blah, blah. But he's like, but if she sleeps with you on third date, she's probably, I mean, and this, first off, I don't give a fuck about body count, right? I want to be very clear because it has to be, but if she is sleeping with you within the first two or three dates, then she probably has slept with other guys within the first two or three dates, right?
Right.
So it's like, why, you would think it would be like attractive to you if she's not sleeping with you, because then she's doing the thing you said you want in a woman. But it's different for you, because for me, though, she should be sleeping with me.
That's literally the logic from them, is they want women to have a zero body count, but they want women to have sex with them on the first date.
Immediately, yeah.
So it's like, it's this paradoxical thing where they think they are so special and unique. Well, I should get it, but, you know, she should have a long history of no sex with anybody else.
Nobody else.
The second she sees me, I almost said her panties better drop, and I hate it. Oh, get me out of here. Where's the hook? I hate that. I hate everything I said. But I mean, that's kind of the vibe. It's like, I'm the specialist boy.
Yeah, I'm the specialist boy. That's really it. You're not wrong.
I hate that. I hate that very much. And I just like the ways that men try and shame women into sleeping with them. Did you ever see Love is Blind?
No, I have not. I'm familiar with it, but I'm familiar with it. Yeah.
So there was a season where there was a woman named KB and a man named Edmund, and KB was, celibate. She had been celibate for a little bit before the show, but she was saying, mm-hmm. I want to wait until I'm married. And like, it was merely a couple weeks and they had just met each other. So mm-hmm. like, he had to wait a couple weeks after just meeting her to be able to have sex with her. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he, Edmund, who came across as a nice guy, throws a little hissy fit and starts crying in bed with her, saying like, you put out for all these other guys, but you won't put out with for me. I'm a nice guy. He starts crying. I'm a nice guy. And then he's like, I don't know why I keep doing this. I'm so nice. Like, why do I do this? And it's like, okay, so are you saying that it's nice that you don't force her to sleep with you? Mm-hmm. Like, is that the niceness that you're referring to? Mm-hmm. Because he basically said, like, I gotta stop doing that. Like, this is what happens, is I'm too mm-hmm. nice. Basically, I'm letting you not sleep with me. But mm-hmm. his whole argument, which is coercion, by the way, that is absolutely, mm-hmm. These are the same argument. Right. They're both forms right. of coercion, which is not good. It's like, to me, it's like the least recognized form of sexual manipulation.
Right. Absolutely.
Is coercion. And his argument was, you slept with all these assholes, but you won't sleep with me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's basically like the argument is, you made all these other mistakes. You were manipulated mm-hmm. by all these other men. Why can't I have the same? Like,
wait, you mean you were being honest with me about what, right, about changing, right, about wanting to, yeah.
These are traumatic experiences that these men are weaponizing. Like, your mm-hmm. toxic ex that you slept with again, that you kept going back to and you had to go to therapy over. Why won't you give me that? I should have your body. If right. you like, we're, your body is not a commodity where it's like, this is the price that you have to pay. Like, this is the amount mm-hmm. of niceness. So it's like, well, I put in the nice tokens. He mm-hmm. put in the jackass tokens and he got to sleep with you. Give me my sex. Like,
I want to know. I'm just trying, because I actually spent time trying to imagine, like, and he said, I was nice, like, you know, you were nice on a date and she didn't sleep with you. What is he acting like when he's not nice on a date? And like, you know what I mean? Like,
hey, bitch.
Yeah. I was like, what is he saying to her?
Like, alternative?
I got first date specifically. I'm just trying to, like, I can't even fathom what it means to not be nice on a first date. Like, what do you do?
That's such an excellent point, because he's arguing, I, on the first date, I was nice to you, as opposed to what?
Normally I am, I like, what do you do? Like, I'm trying to even think, like, do you just like look away from her during the date and
hit on the waitress?
Yeah. Hit on the waitress. Yeah. What are you, like, what are you doing?
Right.
That is not, like, I need to know the data here about what it is, because I'm imagining it can't be that different.
This is what I think. Here's my hot take.
It's actually, please correct us in the comments if there is a
Reagan's wrong. I think that these men are so misogynistic that they think being polite and kind and treating a woman as an equal on a date, being chivalrous, all of these things are gifts they are giving them, are acts of kindness and niceness. Like, I was nice to you. I opened the door for you. I went out of my way to listen to you talk. Mm-hmm. I could have zoned out, and I kind of did, but I looked in your eyes while I was thinking about the game. Like, it's as if they are giving you a huge gift and doing you a service by treating you as an equal. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they think. Like, being nice on a date is such a huge step for them. Like, imagine thinking just being nice is deserving of sex rather than just the lowest bar at, like, that you have right. to overcome to date someone. Yeah. Sex for niceness? Are you yeah. for real?
Yeah. But I'm just, is it the intent behind? I'm still stuck. I'm so sorry. I'm still stuck though. Like, is it actions or intent? Are they saying that when, I don't know. Cause so is he not paying for dates normally? But that's what he's talking about. Is he not asking questions
being
about
gracious,
her?
You're entitled. But that's not like inner, right? Probably like a booty call.
I guess so.
Have you seen the way men treat women who they just want to sleep with and they don't think they need to be nice to? I have. Guess. Not personally, but.
I've never experienced it like as a person. And I don't mean it in like, I treat men, women, friends, romantic acquaintance, like, you know, people that I've dated in the past, the exact same way. Like, I don't have like a different way.
I've seen a lot of women talk about like you know, it could be they lost weight or they mm-hmm. learned how to do their hair and makeup or something, and they mm-hmm. get treated like completely different people. Mm-hmm. They suddenly everyone's so nice and kind to them, right? It's like mm-hmm. men will treat women that they're attracted to or they think they have a shot with completely different than the other women in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so guys who are like this, they're like, I was really nice to you. And it's like, because they don't treat women they're not attracted to that way.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see The Substance?
No. Is that another movie?
Really good.
Is that a movie?
That's the one with Demi Moore.
Mm-hmm.
And
if it's not animated or Wicked, I haven't seen it.
Well, there's basically, not to ruin anything, but there's a woman who's like two versions of herself, one being a younger version and one being an older version. And the first time we encounter one of the male characters, he's like being so sweet to her and so kind to her and like really like charming, very charming. Mm-hmm. And then he runs into her in a different form, not recognizing her, and he's a dick. He's like, out of my way, like, move. Like, he bumps into her. And that's the reality for these men, is mm-hmm. if they're attracted, they will treat them like humans. Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. Like, I think you're looking for, well, what's mean? It's like, no. The niceness is just basic human decency.
Mm-hmm.
Except it's not, because it's not real. It's right. to get sex. Right. That's why they're mad about it. Me being nice is for sex, period.
Right.
You didn't give it to me. But you gave it to somebody else. Again, I don't actually think that's even the argument for them. I think that's literally just a manipulation because they treat women like shit too. And they preach mm-hmm. toxicity, so they don't care about that. I think it's mm-hmm. it's to confuse women like, well, if you'll reward men for God for treating you like shit and like harming mm-hmm. you and you don't reward me, why shouldn't I just treat you like shit? It's like, I don't mm-hmm. know, morals, empathy.
I mean, you have to admit, you did kind of partly bring that on yourself that I was cheating on you, right? I mean, because when I was faithful, she didn't like me. But
when I was faithful, she wouldn't just have sex with me all day, every day, and become my maid and my mother.
It was weird. So once I started like nagging her and making her buy me things and cheating on her, all of a sudden it was like she was mine. It was weird. It's like psychological manipulation works in a weird way. It's like, great. I mean, you have to be like a kind of an evil villain for it to be okay with it working, but.
I know. That's the thing that always kills me is they're like, guys, listen up. I've got some dating advice. Lie to women. Manipulate them. Lie about how much money you make. Lie mm-hmm. about your intentions. Lie about your job. And you can get them to sleep with you. It's like, yeah, it's lying. It's been around for a millennia. It's been around for as long as communication.
And then the next week. God, so you know how your girlfriends are always cheating on you?
Well, it's just, it's like, it's crazy to me how okay so many men are with being harmful and toxic towards women mm-hmm. to get what they want. Like, mm-hmm. like they just don't care. They're like, oh yeah, no, like they openly talk about it in this dating advice. They're like, oh yeah. Like, mm-hmm. just light her. Just break her down. Just get her attached to you and then ditch her and then call her and then ignore her so she mm-hmm. doesn't know which way is up and so she's desperate. It's the same thing when they talk about daddy issues. And I'm like, you mean women who have trauma from their fathers
mm-hmm.
that you weaponize to have sex with
right.
them?
Right.
Ugh. Do you? That's villain shit. Like to your mm-hmm. point. Like if there was like a villain in a chair that was like, yes, I knew the pain that she'd had with her own father, and I weaponized it so she'd have sex with me twice. Mm-hmm. Like you'd be like, that's fucking terrifying.
It's terrible.
You would know
that
that's a villain. But like guys, you know, put on a gold chain, get in a fake podcast booth and say mm-hmm. the same thing. And other men are like, yeah, you're right. I should abuse women and get them to sleep with me. That sounds great.
I remember there was a video of a guy talking about like how exhausting it is to be on a date with a woman because he was talking, I think. And at the time, this is years ago. I want to find that now because I just clicked in my head, this memory. And at the time I was like, why? Like, I find all human interaction exhausting to an extent, but it's not more so because I'm just the same. Like I said, I've never had this fake mask of me that I put. I mean, I mask all the time. That's part of being autistic, but it's nothing different, right? That's not a. Right. I'm not putting on a fake persona, right? It's right. me figuring out ways to present my actual persona right. in a way that doesn't make people uncomfortable, right? But that's a whole side note. But it's really like, I think that, and that's what I think he was getting at. It's so exhausting having to create this fake person solely for the purpose of manipulating this individual and watching how they're reacting so I can continue working to pull this like tapestry of this puppetry of getting her to do the things I want her to do. Because I know if I were to just be me, she might not like me. And it's not even a matter of like, she won't like you. Like there's people out there for everybody, right? There are people that genuinely do like these fucking horrible guys, right? But they hate them. So they know they're shitty people, right? They know they're not a good person. So they know that the majority of women are going to see who they actually are and be like, well, fuck that. I don't want to be, pass. Why would I want to be around you, this actual right. person of you? And it gets to the point that I feel like there's got to be so much self-hatred there to get to the level where you're trying to manipulate and put on this fake persona and everything, where like, cause you've accepted that they don't want to, it's much harder to work on yourself as a person than it is to create somebody who's already worked on themselves.
I think it's in the same vein though, as like the incel pipeline, which is, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not sleeping with women. And so I'm angry at them and I don't see them as people and I don't care what happens to them. Because even if it does come from a place of self-loathing, which like maybe deep in there, maybe like really deep down, mm-hmm. that's possible. But it's also, I think, an entitlement, which is mm-hmm. I don't have what it takes to be someone you like. Mm-hmm. I know what you're looking for, or I know what would work for you, and I'm not it. Mm-hmm. And instead of walking away, it's saying, but I am entitled to you. I'm entitled mm-hmm. to your body. So I am going to lie to you and manipulate you and harm you in order to get the body that I deserve. Because mm-hmm. if it was solely self-loathing.
Yeah.
You could walk away. You would yeah. say, oh, I'm not, I don't deserve you. But that's not what they do. They find out right. that they're not right. what they're looking for. And they say, well, I don't care what you're looking for. I care what I want. Half of these guys like can identify what a woman wants mm-hmm. on some level mm-hmm. because they can pretend to be that. And so it's really, really, I would think it was sad if it wasn't so nefarious because it's like, I know you know what women would want mm-hmm. because you pretend to be kind, you pretend to listen, you pretend to be supportive, mm-hmm. but you are so selfish that instead mm-hmm. of embodying those traits, which would take work, you just fake it to get what you want. And when you stop getting what you want, you stop faking it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is it's like, it's so much more upsetting to me when I know that the men know what would work. Because there's plenty of guys who have no idea how to get with women. Mm-hmm. And don't fake any personas because they just don't understand. Maybe they don't have social skills. And that, to me, is sad. The ones who don't end up hating women, the ones who don't end up taking out their pain, right? The ones who just, like, isolate themselves. Mm-hmm. But these men are showing, I could do it. Mm-hmm. I do know. I can recognize what you need. Mm-hmm. But I'm not willing to actually be that person. I only want to have emotional intelligence enough to weaponize it. Mm-hmm. I only want to understand enough about you to pretend to be that. Mm-hmm. And that is incredibly dangerous.
Because I think the second you said entitlement, it was like, bing, like it's because it's like the honest answer for someone to be like, well, what if she doesn't like me? Then she, mm-hmm. then you move on. Right. That's to find someone who actually does like you. They're like, no, but I want her.
Right.
Oh, well, too bad. Right. That sucks.
And end of sentence. We're done here. No is no, but they don't. They don't stop there. And I wonder for you if it's not, I will have the same thing when people do horrible shit. I will rack my brain like 100 times over and be like, but why? Like, I don't, but why did they do that? Why does it? I think like your assumption is they're saying nice and not nice. And that's actually a reflection of their actions. But so much of what they say is purely manipulation and purely what they say to themselves to justify rejection. So it's like, when men get rejected, and you said this earlier, a lot of times what they'll say, not only to themselves, but to each other, because I've heard these conversations, they'll be like, oh, well, you're too nice, or she didn't want a nice guy. When in reality, a lot of times it's just like there was no chemistry.
Right.
And you can't, like, you can't say that. That's what it is. There's just no chemistry. But they're like, well, on my end, there is. And so if she doesn't like me and I didn't do anything egregious, then she didn't like that I was nice. And I'm nice. It's like they just aren't, they're not working in the realm of the true definition of the word.
Right. I think there's also this really, you see it all the time in like these, because I hate when people fucking rate people. I went on a rant on Threads that was kind of controversial before.
Rate about people?
Rate like 1 through 10. Rate. Oh, sorry. Ew. R-A-T-E. Like the whole, sorry. That's a different conversation. I was like, oh, you're like, what the fuck did you just say?
I just say it one more time to make sure I heard it.
1 through 10. Okay. I hate when people.
I hate that as well. I hate the
1 through 10.
Yes.
And I was like, and then the part of me, I was like, above and beyond the dehumanizing factor of like putting people down.
What's
to that.
The scale?
I was like, the math made me mad, right? I was like, because like it can't be, because I got in a stupid argument online where a guy was like, well, it's like, it would be like a bell curve. It's not like one through. I was like, no, a bell curve only makes sense for like for things that have objective measures of standard. Beauty is not objective, right?
Right.
If you want to argue that like that, so I think the only real way to look at it, if you want to do this terrific, terrible ranking thing, would be like 10% of people are tens. 10% of people are nines, 10% of people are eight. Like you'd have like a roughly large percentage of people that are in that top 10% of beauty that most people would agree were, are probably around there. And there's going to be, but if you were to do it separated in a certain way, it was like, no, it's not the case. Only like 0.1% of women. You don't walk around and see beautiful women all the time. I was like, yes, I do. Like there's beautiful women. There's beautiful people all over. And somebody did point out, they're like, well, you live in Los Angeles, which there is a, I might have a little bit of user bias.
I see beautiful people all the time.
I go all around the country. I see beautiful people, right? And I also pointed out to one guy, I was like, also, I used to be a semi-professional photographer. Have you never seen a model with her makeup off? Like, and this is not me insulting. These are beautiful women, but their idea of a beautiful woman, natural, that doesn't wear any makeup, is actually a woman wearing makeup.
Yeah, it's a natural like, makeup.
A natural makeup.
And fake lashes.
I can't remember who said it, but somebody also said about that when they're like, I don't, you know, I love it. I just want a girl that looks beautiful with no makeup on. And she was like, oh, you want someone that's won the genetic lottery? I was like, oh, what a lovely, beautiful thing to say. Like, you know, I don't want a lot. I just want someone who is so genetically lucky that they can just wake up in the morning and look gorgeous. That's all I want.
Perfect skin, perfect teeth. Skin,
not just, is that asking too much? I don't want her to have to put on all that, put a mask on over her face.
I know. It's always like framed like you're being kind to women. Like, girl, take your makeup off. Like, I don't need all that. And it's like, ew, dude, don't tell me what to do with my face. Also, it's usually like there's an element of control. Like, my woman's not going to wear makeup because that's for me. Like, dude, get a life. Get over it. The whole makeup conversation in general, I'm just like, you're never right. Like whenever I've heard like the men that say stuff like that, if you show them a picture with a woman without makeup, she's not even trying.
Right.
Like that's what it looks like. Like, I don't know.
Well, that I'm not talking about her. She's ugly. I'm not talking about an uggo. I'm talking about like a beautiful woman with
no,
that's what I like. Like a model.
That's what I'm.
Is that too much to ask? Is me like this average guy? Is this normal with nothing spectacular about me? Is it too much to ask for that I have someone that looks like a supermodel when she wakes up in the morning? I don't think that's too much.
If you treat her like shit, yes.
Yeah.
What do you bring to, that's the thing. I'm always like, and you bring what to the table? Because you could bring an excellent, like even if you were not attractive, you could bring an excellent personality. You could be a great partner. You could be hilarious. You could be smart. There's so many things you could be, but like you ask, like these men will list like, you know, like this huge novel of the things they expect their woman to be. Mm-hmm. And then you say, and what do you bring to the table? And it's crickets.
Well, I'm a man.
did you miss that I am a man?
I don't know. Did you see that rant? I went off on the guy that was like, men are taught their entire lives how to treat women, but women are never taught once about how to treat a man, which is the dumbest. I've seen it repeated by other guys before. It is the dumbest fucking thing. I'm sorry. I don't even think it's dumb. But it's just the most disconnected from reality. That's what I want to say.
No, it is the dumbest fucking thing. Because literally all women's lives are is learning how to treat a man.
Exactly.
So they don't kill you. Mm-hmm. So they don't assault you. So you can get by mm-hmm. in social settings so that they will like you but not think you're trying to sleep with them. Like, it's from the time you are born, you see yourself through the lens of how a man sees you, like, and taking care of men.
The training that men receive on how to treat women is just how to treat everyone. Like, I don't even know training. Yeah. Just treat them like a human being. Don't hit them. Like, that's also, you should do that to men too. Like, you shouldn't also be like just running around punching men either, right?
Yeah, but all their training is like, a lot of the training is like the old school way of thinking, and now they're rebelling against that as well. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's like, a lot of it is like, you know, chivalry, and they're like, I'm done being chivalrous. You women won't sleep with me, so
you asked for this. You asked for this. Like, you're at least partly responsible
for the worst fucking thing. They're like, oh, you want equality? Well, then I'll punch you in the face. Like, are you? What's wrong with
what
you?
What the fuck is your issue, dude?
Dude, do you want to hit I always go, how badly do you want to hit women?
That's really what it is.
It's like right on the cusp, and you're like, thank God. Or it's like, it's like they always will immediately go to, oh, you want equality? Well, here's the worst thing.
Here's a knuckle sandwich, then.
Let's get in the bar.
Yeah, because that's real equality is. I walk around every day, guys punch me in the face. I don't know why. Right? The only reason they're doing this is I'm not a woman.
Again, it speaks volumes to what's going on in their minds that that's the first thing. Mm-hmm. And it happens all the time. I've seen that comment so many times. Oh, well, I guess I'll just fight you then.
Right.
I'm like, do you want to fight women a lot? Mm-hmm. Like, are you, you're on the bus and you're like, oh, just give me a reason. Like, I guess you are.
And they bring up, well, do you want to get drafted then? It's like, no, I don't want men to get drafted either. I don't want anybody to. Like, that's what equality means. Again, nobody should be forced into doing this shit. Not everybody should be forced into doing the worst shit. That's not what I want. There's a better world out there.
I just want it to be men punching women, not paying for them, women proposing to men. Mm-hmm. That's what equality is.
I think it's a great example, though, of how that when we talk about the patriarchy and masculinity harming men, is that they can't conceive of a world where they aren't harmed, right? When the world of feminism is a world where it lifts everyone up, right? Arising, you know, it's everybody is in a better place.
Right.
When you follow the ideals of non-harm, right, of not doing these things, but they're so entrenched in this idea, like, no, this is the way it is. This is shitty. Everything is shitty about my life. Equality means bringing everyone down to my level of shittiness, not everyone rising together.
I think that's so true. I think so many men are like, feel like shit. Like, the only thing they have is the patriarchy. Uh-huh. Like, they don't, you know, they don't have good friendships. They don't have a good career. They're living in their mom's basement. I'm being serious. I'm not saying that facetiously. Like honestly, they're in these horrible situations. The only thing they have is their perceived power over women. And so to hear like, well, let's make it equal. They're like, they don't have nothing. Then it's just me. Then it's just terrible for me and great for them. And it's like, No, but it doesn't have to be. Like, we're saying all of us could prosper underneath this because, you know, I've heard this argument a lot, and I think it's true, is that men fear, like, feminism and, like, the idea of a matriarchy or anything even similar to that, women in power at all. They fear it because they think, oh, it's going to be like a patriarchy because they assume...
Yeah. Yeah. Matriarchy is not reverse patriarchy as far as that. No, that's not how it works, but they'd have to look up definitions.
That's their assumption. Because when they had power, that's what they chose to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the same reason why they're like, well, like, the pushback on not helping incels or red pillars or whatever is like, well, you're not going to help us? Like, no, if you hate us, we're not going to help you. Like, they're like, oh my God. Like, but that's like, they want to be able to harm you and you to still have to help them. They are they're clinging so hard to that part of the patriarchy. Cause it's like, I want to have power and I want you to have to fix things for me.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to carry the emotional load of things. Cause I don't want to do that part. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very hard thing for them to let go. And I realize I'm a woman speaking a lot about what men think, but I am also speaking from my experience of dealing with men. And believe you me, the amount of comments I've been getting lately from the incel community, that's a lot of like what they talk about, the issues that they face and what they see it as. And they're very mad that women won't help them. And they say that this is proof that women aren't caring and women hate men. When in reality it's proof that women won't allow men to abuse them as they have, you know, in past history.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it, I think, is confirmation bias.
Right.
A lot of it is, I want to think that you didn't sleep with me because I have this great quality that you want to ignore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to think that this is not a reflection on me if you won't sleep with me.
Mm-hmm.
And that has nothing to do with, like, me as a person. You know, I want to think that women suck because that validates my opinions of the world and my lack of accountability because it's not my fault.
Yeah. And one thing they have trouble with is understanding the difference between like systemic harm and systemic barriers. I've noticed as well, like there are absolutely harms to men. And that is something I acknowledge, I have talked about, and I do think we need to. It's a lot of those things harming men are also harming women, right? And sometimes in secondary ways, sometimes in the exact same way, right? But there's a difference between that versus systemic barriers, which would be like legal policies preventing people from doing certain things. And there was a couple of people that got angry at my video calling out Scott Galloway on his Title IX video. And it was because they're like, well, you just said that there's systemic harm for men. So why shouldn't there be like a reverse affirmative action for men to go like, blah, blah. And I'm like, no. No,
wait.
That's not a systemic barrier. I know systemic. It's the same word. It's complicated. But I think that's I could go on a whole rant right now. And I know we don't have a lot of time left. But that's all of this is complicated, right? But that doesn't sell books, right? Everybody in general. It's a human nature. Is you are desperately seeking for something to confirm that it's not your fault. Right. Everybody wants to think, oh, well, it can't be my fault. Because if it's my fault, then I have to work to change it. That means I have to actually do a lot of work to unpack that and change it. When I made a video years ago talking about the data, this is like there's books written about this from brilliant people that have devoted like years and years to talking about how the hatred that UpTalk or UpSpeak and Vocal Fry and everything gets is directly related to misogyny and our hate of young women. Why? Because we relate it to women. We think about women. And there were a lot of people like, no, that can't be true because I don't like those. Like, that sucks to hear. Like, and it's not, it doesn't mean you're a bad, and that's the breaking. It doesn't mean you're a bad person for succumbing to the systemic thing that we've been taught our whole life. It doesn't make you a bad person because internally you kind of think something smells gross or something makes you feel weird or uncomfortable, mm-hmm. but it's what you do as a result of those feelings that make, that determines whether or not you're a shitty human being or not. And unfortunately, a lot of people are much happier remaining in that negativity because mm-hmm. To get out of it, they have to admit they were doing something wrong.
Yeah, it's like, do you unpack or attack? Like, you have the thought, do you then go, oh, why did I think that? What's mm-hmm. behind that? Like, mm-hmm. what's the feeling underneath that? Or what's the internalized whatever or the bad belief? You can choose to go through that, or you can choose to say, mm-hmm. well, I'm not a bad person, so right. you are. Like, mm-hmm. you made me feel bad, or you're like, oh, well, I don't like the way this makes me feel when this date didn't go my way, so clearly this woman is the devil. Mm-hmm. It's like, this inability to sit with the uncomfortable feeling and dive deeper, because like, mm-hmm. yeah, everybody, like, it's so much easier not to do the inner work. Mm-hmm. It's so much easier to externalize it and throw it at somebody else. Mm-hmm. But
there's shit almost daily where I think about like, oh fuck, that's something why did I react that way? Why did I think that way? Why am I doing this? Like, there's little things, right? But and once you start seeing it, you see it everywhere, right? Yeah. And then stuff that you might, and it's experiences and things you might not experience daily or even yearly, that it, when it does come out though. And I think people think, like, because somebody will critique back, they're like, well, you've done something before. But yeah, I have. Cause this shit sucks. It's real shitty. That it sucks. Even people that are engrossed in fighting against this stuff and researching it and talking about it still do shitty things. How many leftist men have we talked about before that are real fucking steeped in misogyny and do real shitty things? It does not mean just because you agree on a lot of things doesn't mean you can't also be shitty. Doesn't mean you can't also be racist or sexist or transphobic or any number of things, right? And that doesn't make you a bad person, because it's so ingrained in our society that simply doing something doesn't necessarily immediately, there's with certain levels, obviously, where there are certain actions some people do that does make you a shitty person. But
I mean, I think very low levels of an unconscious bias revealing mm-hmm. itself mm-hmm. would be one thing. I think anytime you're outwardly doing something that's
harming other people,
like, that's mm-hmm. a big, that's the thing for me. It's like, there's always the crossroads, which is like, once whatever the bad thought is, the bad feeling is, mm-hmm. whatever's coming up for you that needs to be processed. Like, the moment you then take that out on another person and feel mm-hmm. entitled to do so, the moment that you like take that burden and throw it on somebody else because you don't want to carry it, That is the line that is crossed.
Right.
And that is what so many of these men want to do, is they want to throw it on women. I mean, and let's be real, most of these men usually have homophobic beliefs, probably racist beliefs, because it's a pattern.
It's intersectional.
It's intersectional, but mm-hmm. the instinct to other mm-hmm. and cast people aside and mm-hmm. want to feel superior is not usually solely one group. Like, it's there's, to your point, so much intersectionality. Mm-hmm. And I think realizing when people take actions like that, they have a sense of entitlement and a sense of superiority. And we need mm-hmm. to recognize that quicker with people, because I think it's important to clock, because so mm-hmm. many times that you and I will like clock someone for, I think this person has harmful beliefs. It takes other people longer mm-hmm. because we are picking up on the subtle signs earlier. We are noticing the word choice. We are noticing the bias that's becoming apparent. And I think we just need to like watch people, because like, it is a big deal if you're willing to harm somebody else to get what you want. And men are openly talking mm-hmm. about it and saying it's dating advice. Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole industry, if anything, billion-dollar industry
truly
on weaponizing that yeah. need to blame somebody else other than yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I think we actually stayed on topic for a lot of today.
Yeah.
That was the most on topic.
What a happy note.
After 20 minutes of going off the walls.
You know, we'll just get it out on the front end and then have a mm-hmm. real episode.
Yeah.
We really could be like skip to this point if you want an actual episode.
If you actually want us to talk about.
Well, friends, thank you so much for joining us. We are back to our regular schedule of posting weekly. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your patience. As you know, we have a Patreon where we do an hour-long pre-show every week. You get an extra show. It's a little more unhinged, although today was kind of on topic.
I think we actually did two good episodes today.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Check out our social media. You know where to find it. It'll be linked with the episode. Other than that, Chesco?
Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.